Welcome to Tori Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu Perek 37. In the last Perek, Sancheriv's messenger, Rav Shakeh, had an extended conversation with the messengers of Chizkiyahu. Rav Shakeh then spoke directly to the nation, where he told them that they could neither trust in Hashem nor in other people. Instead, they should surrender and go into exile. Chizkiyahu's officers did not respond as per Chizkiyahu's commands and instead tore kriya, tore their clothes, and went to speak with Chizkiyahu. This is where this parak begins. Like his officers, Chizkiyahu Pasuk 1 by Kras Begadav, he tore his clothes upon hearing about the blasphemy, and then by his Kas Pasuk, he put on sackcloth as the nation was now facing troubling times. Chizkiyahu then went to the Beis HaMikdash to Davin, the only recourse possible against an enemy such as Sancheriv. As Chizkiyahu went to Davin, he also sent Eliakim, Shevna the scribe, and the elder Kohanim, all dressed in sackcloth in mourning, to Yeshayahu the Navi for guidance. Chizkiyahu, who refers to himself without any honorifics or title, has a message for Yeshayahu ben Amoz HaNavi. It is clear from the Pasuk that Chizkiyahu is according Yeshayahu honor, both for his being a Navi and for his father being a Navi. He speaks about how it was a day of extreme troubles, and though Chizkiyahu knew Hashem had promised to save them, he was concerned. Kiva'u vanim ad mashber v'koach ein l'leida. It was as if the Jewish people, the children of Hashem, were like a woman in labor. The baby was healthy and ready to be born. The geula could come, but now the mother does not have the energy to give that final push, and both mother and the baby may die. Chizkiyahu was concerned that perhaps at this time when the geula should come, maybe the nation had sinned and were no longer worthy of Hashem's kindness and salvation. Chizkiyahu continues that he hopes that Hashem heard the cursing of Rav Shakeh and will punish Sancheriv who sent him and prove both of them to be wrong. Pasuk 4, V'nasasat tzvilah ba'ad hasheres nimsa'ah, and that Hashem would accept the tzvilah from the only part of Yehuda that is left, those who are living in Yerushalayim. Pasuk 5, V'yavau avdi hamel Chizkiyahu el Yeshayahu, the servants of King Chizkiyahu go to Yeshayahu. The pasuk refers to Chizkiyahu as king, as they are going on an official mission, and they have great respect for the king, even though the king does not promote himself when he was sending this message. Yeshayahu responds and tells them that they should not be afraid of how Na'arei Melech Ashur, the lads of the king of Ashur, cursed Hashem. Yeshayahu uses language to diminish Rav Shakeh by not giving him a title and calls him a lad, and what he says has no consequence. Yeshayahu then relates what will happen next. Of immediate consequence, Hashem will arrange that Sancheriv will pause the siege as he will hear a rumor that Tirhaka, the king of Kush, is rebelling. He will not confirm this rumor, but will just go to fight that battle, which is a clear sign of Hashem's intervention that he's not going to do any further research. The Pasuk does not mention that Sancheriv will then return to the battle. It skips forward to the distant future, to the end of Sancheriv's life, when he goes back to his own land of Ashur and will be killed. When Sancheriv leaves to fight Kush, it gives Yerushalayim a much-needed break and a chance to restock the city that was struggling from being under siege. This nevuah is exactly what happened. Rav Shakeh finished his mission where he gave Chizkiyahu and the people a message. Sancheriv had set up a base camp in Lachish, a large city in Yehuda, so it was to there that Rav Shakeh traveled. When Rav Shakeh returned, he found that Sancheriv had already left and gone to fight Tirhaka in Livna, another city. As Sancheriv traveled back from his victorious triumph against Kush, he sent yet another discouraging message, this time via a letter to Chizkiyahu. The letter read, Pasuk 10, Al yashi'acha elokecha asher atabotech bo. Don't let your God, whom you trust, misguide you. Do not think that Yerushalayim will remain undefeated by Ashur. Sancheriv then lists all the places and kings he has conquered. He asks Chizkiyahu rhetorically, if these other places could not defend themselves, Pasuk 11, Va'ata tinatzel, you will be saved. Their gods did not save the other countries, so Chizkiyahu should not have any confidence that he will be saved. Sancheriv has a track record of winning against much more powerful kings. Once again, Chizkiyahu does not respond to the blasphemer as he is a fool. Rather, he took these messages and brought the letters to the Beis HaMikdash, where he spread them before Hashem as evidence of the wickedness of Sancheriv And then Chizkiyahu begins to pray. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he asked that the prayer said there should be accepted. His descendant Chizkiyahu went to this special place to pray. He begins his tefillah with words of praise, just as we organize our Shemona Esrei prayer, where we praise Hashem before making any requests. He acknowledges that Hashem Tzvakos, Hashem is the master over heavens and earth, as He alone created them. He is also Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people, so with a special relationship, so He should have mercy on them and intervene in the nature of the world. Any victory or loss in this world is only attributable to Hashem. After the introduction of praise, Chizkiyahu begins his request that Hashem should listen and see what Sancheriv has written to curse Hashem. Sancheriv's words were a chilul Hashem. Chizkiyahu's mission was to always increase the honor of Hashem in the world, and Sancheriv was undermining this goal. Chizkiyahu continues and says that Ashur is powerful. He defeated all the other lands, but the other lands could not be compared to Yerushalayim. Those lands had gods with no power. They were the creation of another human being. In contrast, only Yerushalayim has a God with true power, and therefore it is possible, Pasuk 20, V'ata Hashem Elokeinu Hoshienu Miyado, now Hashem our God, save us from His hand. The reason Chizkiyahu is requesting this miracle is not for himself, but for Hashem's sake. He did not want people to say that Ashur defeated Hashem. In addition, Chizkiyahu wanted there to be a Kiddush Hashem, when people witness a miracle. When a public miracle happens, V'yedu kol mamlachos ha'aretz ki ata Hashem levadecha. All the kingdoms of earth will know that you, Hashem, are alone. As Chizkiyahu was davening, Hashem tells Yeshayahu to go and speak to him that his tefillos were answered. He is to tell him, Pasuk 21, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So says Hashem, the God of Israel. Asher hispalalta elai, you, Chizkiyahu, prayed to me. Your main concern was about the honor and glory of Hashem. El Sancheriv Melech Ashur, you prayed against Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, that he should not be successful. The response that Yeshayahu brings from Hashem is a nevuah where he is acting as if he is speaking to and about Sancheriv. Pasuk 22. Bazalacha, la'agalacha, besuas basion, the daughter of Sion Yerushalayim, who is not yet captured by any man, will mock you and scorn you, Sancheriv. Acharecha rosh heniya bas Yerushalayim. The daughter of Yerushalayim has shaken her head at you. Sancheriv was so arrogant that he scorned Yerushalayim and Sion. In the end, they would shake their heads at him and mock him and scorn him for his bravado that he said he would be defeated, but he had suffered such a large defeat. Sancheriv's plan was not just to scare Yehuda with his message. Pasuk 23. You lifted your eyes against the Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel, Hashem. The Pasuk is telling us that this was not an ordinary battle. Sancheriv had every intention to fight against Hashem directly. Rabbi Shammai Estreicher, in his Sefer Machmideha Mimei Kedem, explains what is happening here on a deeper level. Sancheriv had a plan. He wanted to mix up all the nations in the world to homogenize them. There was a reason that he felt the need to mix up the nations rather than just defeat them as Nebuchadnezzar did. He opposed the idea of national identity as it was rooted in the service of Hashem. National identity stemmed from the fact that there were 70 nations and 70 distinct languages that lived in 70 lands. These divisions were an outgrowth of the Tower of Babel. Before the Tower of Babel, everyone spoke one language. This unity was meant to allow them to join together to serve Hashem as a single society, but instead they united to fight Hashem. As a consequence, and to prevent this from happening again, Hashem dispersed people into 70 different areas. Each was then represented by his own Malach, angel in heaven. Each nation with their own language and their own angel and their own land had its own mission, how it could serve Hashem. Sancheriv did not want each nation serving Hashem. He wanted all the nations to serve him. He broke down all boundaries so that there would again not be any nations so that they could fight against Hashem with him as their leader. Just like the goal of the Tower of Babel was to rise as high as possibly to fight Hashem, Sancheriv said, Pasuk 24, Berov rechbi ani alisi merom harim yarkasei Lebanon, with the multitude of my chariots am I to go up the heights of the mountain to the edges of Lebanon. Rashi says Sancheriv is alluding to his desire to conquer the Temple Mount, the Beis HaMikdash, the House of Hashem, and the, which is often called Livanon. He planned to kill the kings and the princes and all the nobles of Yerushalayim and conquer the Beis HaMikdash, defeating the God of Israel. He had been successful in his battles until now, gathering all the nations into his army. Sanherib had told Chizkiyahu that his battle plans were useless. Chizkiyahu hid the water, but Sanherib laughed. Whenever he needed water, he was self-sufficient. Pasuk 25. Ani karti v'shastisi mayim. Whenever I need water, I dug, and I found water. I was always successful, and he could do the opposite as well. When he needed to dry out the wells of a siege city, he could dry them up. Sanherib felt he was all-powerful, controlling nature, with nothing to fear. Hashem, through the words of Yeshayahu, responds to this blasphemy. He tells Sanherib, Pasuk 26, Halo Shemata, haven't you heard? The Mirachog Osa Osi. Long ago, I was the one who made it. Sanherib's victories were not due to his strength, but only to Hashem having a plan how to punish the 10 tribes. 70 years earlier, Hashem had given Amos Nevuos about Sanherib's successes. At that time, the Nevu was both about how Sanherib would be victorious and how he would be defeated. Mimei Kedem V'Yitzartiha. In ancient times, I fashioned it. Sanherib now thinks he can fight Hashem. However, Hashem has long ago planned that there is reward and punishment when he created the world. Hashem created Gehenim, hell, on the second day of creation. Ata hevi siha. Now I have that I have brought it to pass, and now Sanherib will be paid back for his evil, and he will face the consequences of behavior that were decided in the 7 days of creation. Yeshayahu continues that while Sanherib views everyone else as powerless, he himself is also powerless. Pasuk 28. I know when you sit down, when you go out, your comings and goings. This his ragezcha elai, and I also know about all the raging that you've done against me. Yeshayahu now tells Sanherib what will be the end result of his behavior. Yan his ragezcha elai, v'sha'anancha Allah be'azni. Because of your rage against me and what you spewed, and your arrogant self-assuredness coming up into my ears. Because he cursed Hashem, Hashem will lead him to his destruction, just as one leads an animal to slaughter. After Yeshayahu speaks to Sanherib and tells him that he will be successful, he reassures Chizkiyahu that he and his nation will see miracles and be taken care of. He tells him that his promise that Sanherib will be defeated is a sign that there will be yet another miracle. Up until now, they are trying to survive a siege, which means they can't go out and take care of their fields or bring any food in. Sanherib even plowed under the fields and tried to stop up the water, so there's a real threat to their food supply. Even after the siege is over, how will they eat if they don't plant? Once Sanherib is defeated by a miracle, they will witness yet another miracle. Immediately after the siege, the svichin, the readily available vegetables, will grow so plentifully that the nation will have enough to eat. In the second year, the shachis, the aftergrowth of the wild growth, wild, uncultivated plants would provide the food, and in their third year, they will be back to normal, with the vineyards and fruit trees supplying the food. Those who remain in Yehuda will once again feel comfortable in their land, and it will be as if they are taking root again. Just as Hashem promises that they will have food that grows by setting out roots and then producing fruit, the same will happen with the Jewish people. Pasuk 31. V'yasfa pleitas beis Yehuda ha'nishara shoresh lamata v'asa pri lamala. And the remnant that escaped from the house will take root below and produce fruit above. They will flourish in their land and also increase their numbers. Sanherib's plan was to destroy Yerushalayim. Instead, Pasuk 32, Kim Yerushalayim Tetzei She'eris. From Yerushalayim will go forth the remnant. This small remnant that Sanherib planned to destroy will be the foundation for the kingdom of Yehuda. This is happening because Kinas Hashem Tzvakos Ta'asezos. The zealousness of Hashem Tzvakos, who controls all of nature, will do this. Hashem will not allow someone like Sanherib to destroy his people. The last part of the Nevuah, after addressing Sanherib and then giving comfort to Chizkiyahu, is a precise description of what will happen in this miracle. Yeshayahu says that Sanherib will never attack Yerushalayim, and he will return home to his home. As for Yerushalayim, Pasuk 35, Vaganosi al ha'ir hazos lo shia. I will protect the city to save it. This is all done for Kavod Hashem, for the honor of Hashem, so that there should not be a Chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's names. It is being done lima'ani ulaman David avdi, for my sake and for the sake of Malchus Beis David. Pasuk 36-39 tells us that indeed this is what happened. On Pesach night, a Malach Hashem killed 185,000 soldiers. When the city woke up in the morning, they were all dead. Sancheriv survived and returned to Nineveh, the capital of Ashur. When he returned, he went to worship his idol, Nisroch. Rashi says that this Avodah Zarah was actually a plank of wood that was saved from the Teva in the times of Noach. He was serving this idol when his own sons killed him. They fled, and Esar Chadon took over the kingdom. In this parak, we learned about how Chizkiyahu reacted to the terrible threats. He went to daven a heartfelt prayer. Hashem sent Yeshayahu to him to deliver the message that Sancheriv, who battles against the control of Hashem over the world, will be destroyed, and he and Yerushalayim will be saved. In the end, Sancheriv will lose, return to his land, and will be killed by his two sons. One lesson we can learn from this parak is the importance of having the proper goals. Chizkiyahu's goal in life was for the honor of Hashem to be increased. Though his life was in danger, he had full bitachon that Hashem would save him. He davened for Hashem's sake that there should not be a chilul Hashem. Sancheriv was the arch nemesis of Chizkiyahu. He was the exact opposite of what Chizkiyahu represented. While Chizkiyahu only wanted Hashem to be praised, Sancheriv did not want anyone to praise Hashem. This set them up for an intense battle. Sancheriv was far stronger, but Hashem is the one who decided that victory should go to Chizkiyahu. Killing Sancheriv's army was not the end of the miracles. After the war, there was another big miracle. Hashem cared that the people should have food and be provided for. Chizkiyahu had bitachon in Hashem, and Hashem in turn cared for him and his people. Thank you for learning together the Ilui Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Bracha's kindness and generosity had no bounds.